can I still teach reading and writing workshop from a distance? The very quick answer is absolutely. Welcome to the Workshop Teacher Podcast, a podcast for teachers who are interested in trying workshop in their classrooms and teachers who are obsessed with it, like me. Before I start explaining how I believe we can all continue reading and writing workshop from a distance, I want to tell you what I've been up to this last week and how you can get a hold of this really awesome workbook that I've created for teachers who are trying to launch reading and writing workshop from a distance, because that's what we're all facing right now. So I just did a 5-day challenge to help teachers launch reading and writing workshop from a distance. And I created a workbook for each day of the challenge, and I've compiled it all together. It's about 30 pages, and it just walks you step by step through the process that I would take if I were teaching from a distance and starting the school year off from a distance. So the workbook, I can tell you a little bit about it, but if you want it, if you're already like, yes, I need this workbook, go to amandarightnow.com and just enter your email. There's a pop-up there. Enter your email and I will email it to you. Day one is just helping you get your essentials ready, your workshop pie chart that tells your students what the different parts of workshop are, mini lesson, work time, closure, and also your first week of school choice board, digital choice boards for students to choose what activities they want to do during the work time portion of writing and reading workshop. And the choice boards combine a little bit of writing and a little bit of reading. Day two in the workbook is creating a management plan. So coming up with what are your expectations for students when they're in online meetings? What's the consequence sequence that will happen if students aren't quite living up to your expectations? And then day three is creating your routines for your distance learning day. And it's all about schedules. And I have some example schedules that you might consider using, either if you're doing hybrid, if you're doing all distance learning, or if you are going back to the classroom. And then I go over how to plan mini lessons and the parts of a mini lesson, and then also how to plan your units. And I give you access to a template to plan your units for the year. So if you want that workbook, head over to amandarightnow.com and give me your email and I will email it over to you. I am happy to help you continue workshop this year. And that's what this episode is all about. So let's go ahead and talk about how I believe everyone who loves workshop can keep doing workshop. Now, whether you want to admit it or not, the current state of the world requires that we simplify what we normally do. This is exactly why we should continue workshop. I've been arguing for years that workshop makes teaching simple. At this point, you might be thinking, what do you mean, Amanda? How is it simple? What do I do? Well, keep listening, my wonderful, dedicated teacher friend. So let's first talk about the main components of reading and writing workshop, and then I'll tell you how you can tweak each of these components. So the main components are the mini lesson, work time, conferencing, mentor text, and publishing. Is there more to workshop than this? Yes, but I'm just going to be talking about those components today and how you can continue all of them from a distance. So let's start with mini lessons. Mini lessons can be created I'm totally tongue twisting right now. So mini lessons are direct instruction, teaching a very specific skill. And these can be recorded. So that's for asynchronous learning. and then, you know, shared with students in Google Classroom or Canvas or whatever you're using, or they can be taught synchronously live. So let's talk about teaching it live, teaching your mini lessons live. So during a video meeting, if you're doing Zoom or Google Meet or whatever, you can teach your students the same way you would do in class. However, you have to teach your students the expectations during the mini lesson. So, you know, are you going to expect that they're all sharing their screen so that you can see them during your mini lesson? Are you going to expect that they make eye contact with the screen during your mini lesson, that they're not doing something like being on their cell phone or watching TV or eating food, things like that? You have to teach your students these new ways of being on a video meeting. And then also sharing your screen. So you can share your screen during your live lesson. And I think this would be great for annotating a mentor text, writing or typing into a Google Doc in front of your students or even Microsoft Word, and showing short clips from YouTube videos and watching them with your students during the meeting. The share screen option really allows you to do all of that. What if you're going to do it asynchronously? So mini lessons can be pre-recorded. There are many ways to do this. This is what I've done actually recently, because Zoom has this really awesome virtual background tool that you don't need a green screen. But I have hosted a Zoom meeting all by myself, recorded it, downloaded it to my computer, and then you can post it to YouTube and you can post it unlisted, so only people with a link can view the video. You can also just upload it to your drive and share it with students, share the link with students. I use Screencast-O-Matic, but you could also use Screencastify to record your lessons. There's also a really cool app called Explain Everything that you can use if you have an iPad. iPads are really awesome. There's lots of different apps you can use to record a lesson and actually like kind of write on your iPad if you have an Apple Pen. So useful for creating videos for your students. So those are my tips for the mini lessons. Now let's talk about work time. So for work time, what students do during, like after your mini lesson, I love what I call digital choice boards. Choice boards give students a list of choices for reading or writing work time. These choices can be listed in a Google slide, like on a Google slide, and then posted. That Google slide can be posted to wherever, Google Classroom, whatever platform you're using as your learning hub. And actually, if you go to my website, amandarightnow.com, and click podcast at the top, scroll down to this episode, you can get a first week of school choice board slideshow. You just click the link in the blog post, in this episode's blog post. It's called How to Teach Reading and Writing Workshop from a Distance. Click it and you'll get a copy of first week of school choice boards. And so the choice boards, they can be just a list of choices students can pick from. They could also be like a must do, like things you must do, your students must do during work time, and then choices for may do, like things they might enjoy doing. And so choice boards can be really great for that work time component of workshop. Now let's talk about conferencing. So there's no argument about this. COVID-19 is definitely going to have an impact on the way we confer with our students. We can no longer sit side by side with them and talk about their work as readers and writers. It's the terrible and tough reality that we face right now. So does this mean we can't confer anymore? I believe conferring can still be accomplished. It may take time to get used to, but I think that the following tools will help with our abilities to confer with students. So what are these tools? Well, I'm about to tell you about them. So the first one is Google Docs. Even before COVID-19, I was using Google Docs to conference with students, and it was actually quite efficient. I could push much more feedback out to students than when I sat side by side with them. First, I would provide a piece of encouragement in the form of a comment on students' doc, and then I would provide a quick tip. in my comment. That's it. That's a conference. Then I was off to the next student's doc. You might also consider having students highlight parts of their writing and ask for feedback on specific skills that you have listed on your single point rubric or checklist for students that you give at the very beginning of your unit, right? Because we always do that. We want students to know these are the skills that you are going to master by the end of this unit. So students can use that list of skills to ask for feedback from you in their writing, in their Google Doc. Zoom, Google Meet, Skype even are different ways you can conference with students. So one powerful part of the conferring process is that when conferring with one student, many student spies, I call them, listen in. So how might you encourage listening in on someone else's conference from a distance? Well, live video calls. You might call these special video calls writing conference calls. During the call, you could have one, or video meeting is what I'm talking about, like a Zoom meeting or a Google Meet meeting. You could have one student's writing piece open. You're sharing their piece, sharing your screen, and their writing is up. And of course, you'll want to get permission from your students, of course, before doing this. So you're going to share your screen so that other students can learn from the feedback you give to that student. You might also have the student volunteer who volunteered to share their writing ask you questions for specific feedback on one aspect of their writing using the single point rubric or student checklist that you gave students at the beginning of your unit. So they're coming up with questions before you share their writing. Now, maybe you're wondering, well, how the heck am I going to get volunteers to share their writing? Another idea for you is, especially if you're a middle or high school teacher, you have multiple students in different classes. So you might even do it anonymously, pick a student's writing from another class, take off their name, create a brand new doc with part of their writing, and then just show students how you would help them with their writing during the video meeting. And again, during conferences, I like to emphasize that you're only helping them with one skill, not talking about everything that's horrible about their writing. And you might want to tell kids that too. You tell your students that it's good to just focus on one thing, not everything, because then it's just too overwhelming. And it writing, there's so many skills to master with writing, and none of us have it figured out, and that's okay. And just having that attitude with our students is really, really important. That I make mistakes all the time in my writing, and I even have made the silliest mistakes, like confusing your your and your. I do that all the time. And I'm an English teacher. So, telling your kids this to ease their worries when they're sharing their writing in front of you or in front of their peers. Okay, so there's also free apps for discussions that students can have with each other and for peer feedback with each other. Voxer, I've been using this app for years now to connect with my online teacher friends. It's basically a walkie-talkie on your phone that you can record messages with, and then whoever you're recording the message to can listen to it whenever they want. I believe Voxer could be an excellent way to connect with small groups of students, but create a Voxer group just for five students maybe, or just connecting one-on-one with students. I wouldn't create a Voxer group for a whole class because that could get really overwhelming fast. So it's more for smaller groups of people. So maybe consider using a Voxer group for just those high need students, the students that really need a lot of help, so that you're constantly checking in with them. Also, there's the breakout rooms option. Did you know that Google Meet now has a breakout room feature that students can monitor, so they can actually monitor the different breakout rooms? Zoom doesn't have that feature. You can't monitor them. So there's a Google Chrome app that you can use to play around this with this. I have not played around with this yet, but I have heard about it and it's pretty exciting. So students can be put into a small group and then given a prompt to discuss. You might also consider having students take notes during their discussion. And you can go back and look at the notes that they maybe typed within a Google Classroom assignment that's a shared doc for the group so that they're all kind of collaborating together as they're discussing. Okay, so let's talk about charts, because charts are also a component of workshop. And I didn't mention that at the beginning of the episode, but charts are a big part of workshop. I love using Google Slides to create charts. I've been collecting Google Slide charts for years now too. All you have to do to create a chart in Google Slides is change the dimensions of the slides. So I actually have an image here. So all you have to do is go to File and Page Setup, and then just change the dimensions to 8.5 by 11. So it's like a regular looking paper size. And then if you go to this blog post, I have a chart that's called How to Find a Book You'll Enjoy. So you can get a copy of that. It's a pretty simple chart. I like making simple charts. So what about reading books, independent reading books? That's a really big part of reading workshop, and just mentor texts in general. During distance learning, students are going to need access to both digital text and independent reading books. Many local and school libraries are doing an excellent job supporting parents and students during this time by providing book pickup appointments. I know my local library is doing this, and lots of parents in a Facebook group I'm in are loving it. I urge teachers to look into the libraries within their communities and share this valuable information with students. Many libraries also provide free audio and digital books to students. And I have a couple of links to just my local county and what they're doing. And I'm sure there are other counties and libraries systems that are also offering a lot during this time. So go research those. And then also something to look forward to, I'm going to be publishing more themed online mentor texts. So one of my most popular blog posts on my website is mentor text for middle school students for every genre, but I'm planning on publishing a lot more blog posts, because that is such a popular post. I know teachers are desperate for mentor texts, and so I'm going to be posting more, and I have big plans for creating a mentor text from many diverse backgrounds, and just different authors from different countries and different races and on different topics that are just really relevant to the issues of race in our time. So be looking for that on my website, because I have big plans for mentor text blog posts. What about publishing? Publishing student work has never been easier. The internet is exploding with opportunities for student voices to be heard. I highly recommend you check out the 2020 New York Times Learning Network publishing contests that are now available. And if you just search that in Google, you'll be directed to it. You could also go to the blog post that's related to this episode and click the link that I have for you in this blog post. All right, there's so much more I could talk about, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. So how do you plan to continue using reading and writing workshop methods from a distance? I'd love if you went to this blog post and shared your ideas in the comments. I know workshop teachers are innovative, creative, and dedicated to making learning meaningful for their students. I can't wait to hear your ideas for continuing the important practice of using reading and writing workshop this year.